Thank you for joining today's Coal of Africa conference call. Today, I'm pleased to present John Rawlinson, Chief Executive. Please begin your meeting.
Morning, everybody. Okay, I'm going to just quickly summarize in a few lines the announcement that we put out today. Essentially, it's a proposed placing to raise around the $100 million mark during the day. Those who followed us closely will know that this has been likely to be coming for a while, and the main issues, the main area that will be that this has been going for the use of the proceeds is with the recent announcement that Vele is back on the go, we need to complete the Vele capital expenditure and start our working capital over the next 12 months, and we've put about $25 million that we've set aside for that. The Chafuti asset acquisition is coming up very soon. Subject to some regulatory approvals that we expect at any time now between the end of November and April, and that is a $43 million tranche. To further take that particular acquisition up the value curve over the next 6 to 12 months, there's a $15 million exploration and technical studies required on that particular asset, which is likely to more than double that resource base, and there's $15 million. The balance is general corporate purposes, which are dominated really by the Transnet, a requirement for a much bigger requirement at Transnet because of the higher volumes that we're now taking through the port and some of the other stuff that we've had to do to get to this position. As you saw with the announcement, we've also brought out over the last week an MER and a full... study that was required this probably is better to be dictated by the questions that you've got, so I don't really want to take on this too much. As you see, there's $100 million. We've also now going through a $40 million credit that we are negotiating at the moment with JP Morgan. This is really just to give us an extra bit of requirement at the end, so that we don't give us that extra little bit of time that we require that we may need in 12 to 18 months' time, had we not done the kind of restructuring that we require to do. I think I'll go over to questions now, if there are any.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question at any stage, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause whilst questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of Matt Burney from GMT Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, John. Just a quick question, really. I'm interested in the timing. Perhaps you could explain why you've done this now. I mean, you've alluded to the fact that this has sort of been coming for a while. I'm just interested in the timing in terms of the market conditions, and would you perhaps have thought it would have been better to do it earlier in the year?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Matt. When I saw the comments that you wrote, I was a bit surprised. I think one of the things one can't predict, of course, is the timing that we do this and what the market will be at the time. But we actually had no choice. While we were fighting and having sought out some Vele issue, we were really not in a position to go to the market. We would not have had the degree of confidence from either the shareholders or the market on whether we actually could progress beyond where we were. I knew that we were making steady progress, and I knew what the final result was going to be, but I could not put the timing of that whole I could not give you a timing of when Vele would be resolved, and unfortunately there's no doubt in our mind that had we gone to the market prior to the resolution of Vele, this would not have been the right time. And so unfortunately the time was taken away from us, and it did take us to the extent that by the time it did be resolved, you know, we really had to act quite quickly because we didn't have really the time to not to choose. So really it's down to that. It wasn't ideal, But for most of the year, the timing was not really in my hands.
Okay, thanks very much. I guess another question then coming off the back of that, is this likely to be the last time that you're going to have to come to the market? I mean, with regards to sort of Mercado financing, development of Matola, et cetera, what sort of solutions are you looking at for financing those projects?
You know, certainly now that we've, and I think it was reflected in our year-end results, that the fact that the company's gone through a significant transformation and a significant restructuring, we've rebased it, we've de-risked it to some extent. This funding today buys us the time to carry out the projects that I've just referred to, but it also gives us the time now to make the right strategic decisions over the next 6 to 12 months. And that is the first thing that certainly Wayne and I will be looking at. We need to restructure coal over the next 6 to 12 months such that we can avoid having to go to the market, particularly at inopportune times like this one. I'm sure, as you followed in the last 12 months, this was not really something that we had planned. We were always on the back foot, and it was really a firefighting exercise over the last year, a cleanup exercise, and a restructuring exercise. As we go forward now, we will strategically restructure the company to avoid that. The developments coming up in the future, Mercado will be a big positive, because although there's a big capital requirement for the project, there'll also be an equity investment from Exxaro, and there'll also be a share of the capital from Exxaro, and the combination of that and a sound project will allow various options to be considered for a specific project like that. And the same I will say for whether it's the rail or port issues as well. Over the next 12 months, we will certainly set ourselves up either with the right strategic partnerships or if we do come to market, we'll be on the terms that are probably a lot more favourable for more positive developments as for an approval of Mercado or whatever.
Okay, thanks, John.
Hello, and our next question is from Mark Kaya from Investec. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, John. A couple of questions really on the fundraising and the impact on the BE arrangements. Given that the bulk of the funding is really for Chipperty, and in your registration documents for the OSC, you said you've already identified a potential HDSA partner for the project. Why was it raised at the top level and not at the project level? And then going forward, are we expecting to see more BE involvement in your other projects, including Valley and Rustaline?
Yeah, look, the current empowerment at a corporate level that's in place, even after this dilution, will still be okay for Valley and the two thermal coal assets. Chipperty has, as you rightly say, will have a separate empowerment transaction that is going to be finalised in the next month. So that will be empowered at an asset level, and so will Mercado. I would expect over the next couple of years that you would likely see some further empowerment done, possibly at Valley. The thermal coal assets are a different category, and you know there are a number of different strategic issues that we will be looking at over time for those two assets.
Okay, given that you said it's going to be resolved in the next month, which is pretty, could you not have waited for a month and sort of raised some of the financing at that project level rather than diluting your top level shareholders at the moment?
Sorry, just say that again.
You said that you should resolve the Chipperty potential investment within a partner within the next month. Could you have raised the money for Chipperty at the project level then, rather than do it now at a top level?
I suppose we could have, but it was not. We did not think it was necessary. The future value and growth of this company are predominantly Mercado and the Chipperty assets. That's where the value is. It's not, the value just doesn't lie in our existing thermal assets, and a very small portion of our value lies in the current Vela assets. But the future potential and value of solar assets lies in Mercado in particular, and the Chipperty assets in general.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Just to remind all participants that if you do have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now, and if you wish to withdraw your question at any stage, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a further pause whilst questions are being registered. Just a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And our next question comes from the line of Bernard Ritter from Sanlam Investment Management. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, John, Bernard Ritter. Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. It seems from the documentation, the SENS release, that your drawdown down on your facilities is contingent on getting this cash. So it seems to me that you actually need to do the placing to get some funds in, and it's basically related to your other funding. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Really, it's not our intention to actually utilize the facility that's been put into place. It's really a shock absorber to be put in case as we move forward, as I said, with our strategic developments over the next 12 months. And for example, I'll just give you an example over the last month or so where the market softened a bit and our stocks at the port ballooned from 50,000 to 220,000 tons. This happens for coal companies all around the world, and they live with it, and they live with ups and downs. But when you've got a company of our size with the cash balance that we had, then it becomes far more serious. So really it's a shock absorber just to ensure that we don't fall into a position that, in fact, I think Matt referred to earlier, where you then are forced to come to the market or required to come to the market at a time which is probably not the greatest, not the most opportune time. And that's really the reason why it's there. It de-risks the company to a large extent. I think it takes the risk profile down another two or three notches from, you know, in that we can now plan accordingly over the next while. That's really the main reason why it is in. And I mean, clearly a company of this of the stage that we're at and the cash flows that we have as of now, achieving a facility of that resource without putting the cash in would be highly unlikely.
Okay. Just some further questions, if I'm allowed. In terms of your Mercado bulk sample, getting into the detail of that, I've seen your recent release in terms of some of the physical qualities. Do you have a bit more information in terms of the potential pricing of that semi-hard coking coal and the potential discounts that can fetch this hard coking coal?
Yeah, I can't wait to start talking about that. But you know, unfortunately, because it's an engagement that's ongoing with Arcelor at the moment, we can't really talk about it. Obviously, what we're hoping is that it's certainly the category is falling in the hard, semi-hard category. So we don't expect the discounts to the top coking coal in the world to be more than 10%, and that's a great range for us. You know, those discussions are continuing, and we have sent a number of dump samples to potential customers in the east, as well as we have some independent experts evaluating the suitability of this coal for many of the coke ovens all around the world. So at the moment, the one very, very positive feature of the Mercado test has been the fact that the coal does fall into a hard range and is not a soft range, and that's been very encouraging for us.
And maybe the other thing that I want to just explore a bit is your strategy of acquiring these Djibouti assets, and I haven't really engaged with you in a lot of detail around this, but it's interesting that you are acquiring these assets now when you don't really have your cash flows, you know, from your existing operations to fund these sort of things. So I think it's a bit unfortunate, but maybe you can just talk around the potential of the assets, what you're paying for it now, and you know, yeah.
Look, yeah, as I said, I joined in July, and one of the features of the company that's grown rather rapidly from a junior exploration plan to something that's a lot more, this was a deal that was done prior to me coming in, and it's actually an outstanding deal. You know, we have probably overpaid some of the others, but this is a great deal. And You say you have I'm just trying to get. Have you looked at the detail of the resource on the presentation, or do you want me to quickly take you through it? But what it involves.
Yeah, I'd like you to. If we have the time, if you can spend a bit of.
Right now, Rio Tinto, when they sell it to us, there's a billion ton resource there that has been defined by Rio, and this is a resource that. Mostly in real work that they've done looks like a thermal coal asset. We've put a lot of extra work into this in the meantime, and when the deal becomes unconditional, firstly you'll see two things. One, a fairly significant re-rating of the resource, and secondly, the fact that nearly the whole area has contained both coking and thermal coal. So over the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see a significant re-rating of this area. If the potential in this area is, from a pure resource base, is that you could be producing in the next decade or plus in excess of 10 million tonnes of hard coking coal or hard to soft coking coal a year out of this area. So the value in that regard is fairly significant, and it kind of compares with some of the large areas that have been recently acquired in Mozambique for significantly more. So I think overall it's going to prove over the next decade to have been an extremely good acquisition. I can only concur with you that from the point of view when it came through and the fact that the company, the position is in from a cash point of view and when the deal was done, that the company didn't have the cash, those are valid points, and certainly those are the kind of things that we would not like to repeat. But I can only go back and say that the deal itself actually is going to be a very, very good one. And I had the ability when I did come in to walk away from this particular one because we didn't have the cash, and it really would not have been the right decision. The potential upside, despite the short-term cash issue, is massive.
Mm. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Tony De Silva from Balfa Investment Management. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Hello.
Hi, morning.
Hi, good morning, John. Hi, just a couple of things from me. The one thing on the McCord acquisition, I'm just trying to understand why is it taking so long for Austin Little to come back to you guys? Because from what I can read, it seems like the quality of the coal is not the issue at the moment.
I know, I guess, you know, it's like all negotiations. They start off in the sparring phase, and I suppose that's what's happened. Also, you know, after our shareholder, and they've been participating in the events of today. So I suspect that after we've got all today out of the way, I'd like to think that the process will accelerate during the next 4 to 6 weeks, and so that we can reach a reasonable conclusion.
All right, and then with regards to Exxaro's participation in that development, what is the trigger point for them? Do they need sort of the Austin Little agreement plus all these kind of issues to be ironed out first before they commit to anything, or how does that work?
Well, it does impact because the agreement is dependent on an entry price that's based on the NPV of the project discounted by 20%.
Okay.
And as you know, the NPV of a project is heavily influenced by what price you put into the model. And the price at the moment, unfortunately, is heavily influenced by where we get to with Austral. So that's kind of where it is. You know, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. We need to get some clarity with Austral first before we can move on to the next phase.
Okay. The other thing is the use of shareholder funds. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
As the use of shareholder funds, the history of Colorado for the last 2 or 3 years is done capital raising a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how much attention was paid to the cost of equity, because effectively they've thrown a lot of money behind New Coal, which has frankly proved to be quite a disaster. If you look at all the legalities around it and everything else that goes with it. And now another $100 million has to be put in again. Understand that it's for a different set of assets and for different types of potential. But I'm worried about the use of shareholder funds, especially the cost of equity of issuing shares at this kind of price relative to a CPR report that is on your website, which most probably values the company at double where the share price is at this point in time.
Those are very valid points, you know, and I think what one needs to understand is that this company has gone through a massive change in the last year, and a change in leadership as well. And the reason why that the board decided to bring in a change in leadership is that the company has changed shape and changed form without actually having the capacity and skills to do it, to know what it was doing. I agree with you that to some extent both the Moyplot and the new coal acquisitions were unfortunate in that that we probably paid about what the real worth was. That was reflected in our year-end results, as you saw, mm-hmm. where we did fairly significant impairments to them. And really what the impairments reflected was that this was, I think as I said right at the start, this was a year of change, a year of transformation. This was a year of setting up the company, transitioning from, let's say, call it an exploration play to a full mining and development company. And that involved a lot of restructuring and recapitalizing and recapacitating, etc. And part of that was of cleaning up the books that you saw in the impairment. And that's all I can really say to you. This particular raising, we really have no choice but to do. But what we do have a choice of is how we now move forward and how we restructure the company moving forward and how we use shareholder funds going forward. I can't really change what has happened in the past. I think, not to be too critical, there's been some fantastic assets put together, and now it's our job over the next decade to bring those assets to book and to monetize them.
Okay. All right, so the last few things from me. If I go back to the Mercado transaction that you have going at the moment, how do you guys get around the fact that water is a serious issue in that area? And then obviously all these farms, because obviously to get a railway in there and all the logistical requirements, you have to go across a series of farms, and obviously there's all the community issues. How is that being handled at the moment, and where are you guys with regard to coming to sort of a definitive situation into finding a solution there?
I think we're making great progress there, but as you know, you don't measure that in a straight line. It's any engagements of communities or farmers goes forward and back and round and so on. And I personally spent 3, 4, 5, 6 Saturdays up in Polokwane, Iwamas, in the Makata area, talking to the communities. And I can assure you every time I've spent a day talking to the communities, there's probably another 5 or 6 times that the team have been. So there's a huge amount of engagement and interaction going on. And sometimes you make progress and sometimes you don't. So you're quite right, there's a sense, an area of sensitivity. I think we are carrying out this particular task with great competence. We're doing it with sincerity, but it does take time. And, you know, the timeline of it is difficult to actually pinpoint, but we are making progress and we actually are moving forward. From a technical point of view, you've highlighted it's 100% right. One of the technical challenges of Mercado will be the water. And I think once the final capital comes out and publicly, you'll see a large amount of money will be spent on accessing and finalizing, getting that whole process in place. There's been a significant number of engagements with both the Department of Water Affairs and with all the interested affected parties, particularly the farmers, on the water issue. And of course, it is a very sensitive issue for that area. And that will be reflected in the amount of capital that will be required to have the right solutions to ensure that the mine gets the water it requires. But it is a process that's going well. We've hired some of the best water specialists in the country to assist us. But it's certainly not an easy problem. And you highlight a very good point, and the one of the communities. But it's something that I think that the project team are doing extremely methodically and well at the moment.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Thomas Anderson from Praxim Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi. 3 quick questions, if I may. Firstly, what do you think the timing is likely to be for the disposals of Holfontein and Nimag?
Okay, Nimag, hopefully, Tom, is sooner rather than later. The Holfontein one is a little frustrating in that it seems to drag on, but both we would like to see done certainly by the end of the fourth quarter of next year, but preferably before that.
Okay. Next, on Vele, you gave me some approximate guidance for what you expect your cash cost to be, and I think that was based on this year's production figure, where you've obviously got quite low production because you're just starting up. On a longer term basis, once you're at the rate of 1 million tons of production of export semi-soft coking coal per year, what would you envisage the cost will be per ton to get to FOB or FOT, either on a rand or a dollar basis?
I don't think that's a change of the numbers I gave you. I don't think, you know, I'm going to be talking with a lot more authority on our Vele costs in the next, probably the next 3 to 6 months as I gain some clarity out of that operation. But I don't, you know, in the next year, I doubt it's going to be much below $100, Tom.
That's FOT, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then at Mercado, you talked about the pricing of not less than a 10%, not more than 10% less than the hard coking coal benchmark price.
Correct.
Do you envisage that you and ArcelorMittal share the logistics benefits, or will they pay you that benchmark Australian FOB price from your mine gate, or will you be obliged to deliver the coal to their to their steel plant in order to achieve the Australian FOB price?
Can I not answer that, because we're too involved in the negotiation process? I don't want to give anything away.
Right. I would have thought the negotiation on who gets the transport saving is more important than whether you get a 5% or a 10% discount to the hard coking coal benchmark price.
Yeah, look, certainly the principle is that we'll both be getting the benefit from this, because remember, they will be saving, that they won't be shipping the coal from Australia.
Of course.
And so there's definitely going to be a sharing of the benefits there. That is part of the principle.
Okay, it's going to be shared, though. It's not going to be all to you or all to them.
Well, the shipping will be to them, and the railage will be to us. And then, you know, so it's that gives you an idea.
Oh, so bearing in mind, getting it on a rail from you to them is probably similar to getting it on a rail from Richards Bay, say,
yes,
to them.
To them, yeah. Yes.
They would pay that anyway, but they save on the ship from Queensland to... Okay, fine. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Just another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And our next question comes from the line of Cedar Barnes from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for taking the call. Just a quick question, not on your development assets, just something more near term. You said that your inventories of thermal coal at the port had gone up from 50,000 tonnes to 250,000 tonnes, if I heard correctly.
Good. About 220, yeah.
220. So, you know, that's sort of nearly a 200,000 ton increase in inventory. I mean, if I do very basic math and I assume sort of around $100 per ton, we're talking sort of $15 to $20 million locked up in inventory, which is obviously quite material for a company of Coal of Africa's size and in Coal of Africa's sort of development position. Can you explain to me why the inventories have gone up so much in the quarter? I mean, is your thermal coal product off-spec?
No, not at all. Not at all. This happens all the time. I mean, when I was running Anglo Coal, this used to happen regularly. It's just part of the market. I think once you start exposing yourself to exporting and, you know, directly to the ships at port, and you're selling at FOB from the port, this is going to happen from time to time. And what happened was the market, with all the market saga going on around the world, the conditions, the physical conditions definitely softened. And when the markets soften, what happens is that you start to see ships slipping out. You know, customers just don't need the coal on a certain date, and the ships slip out a week or two. So this kind of thing happens all the time, and that's what I was referring to earlier. A company, if you're going to get into this business and you're going to be exporting, let's say, 3 million tons per annum out of a port, you actually have to have the working capital that allows you to handle a quarter that happens to you. There's almost no way to prevent it without literally giving the coal away and selling it. But it has nothing to do with the quality of the coal. It's certainly got nothing to do with the supply, obviously. It was purely a market-driven situation. And, you know, it's already the stock has come down, but it's, and it can change very quickly, because, you know, if you're keeping in touch with the market, you'll see that, for example, there's a lot of Indian power stations at very dangerously low levels of stock. And often what that has led to before is some significant buying. So that could change literally in over the next 3 months, but it may not. But it really was completely a market issue and nothing to do with the coal quality or anything else.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. As we have no further questions on the audio, I will return the conference to you, John.
If there's no more questions, I just want to thank everybody for the questions, and you know, just to say this is to reinforce again that this is actually a step in the new direction for the company. We're moving forward now. I think the full authorization really has changed the direction that the company is going on. We don't have to look behind anymore. We're now setting ourselves up to progress forward. And I'm sure over the next 6 to 12 months, there's many, many triggers that will continue to show that. But as we've discussed, the Arcelor issue, the Exxaro issue, the approval from Ocado, the re-rating of the Chapudi asset, and so on. And I'm sure over the next 12 months, hopefully, once we also restructure the company as appropriately, we will start to see some progress for the company. And thank you very much.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.